guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, this is Blackwell with Monochrome Sessions. You can hear me every Wednesday at 11 p.m. to midnight. Thank you so much. Today was just kind of a random mix of some dub songs and whatever I could find last minute on my USB. Next week, I will probably have a more put-together set. I'm thinking of doing a ghetto tech set if I can find a good radio-ready set, because if you know that genre, it's not the most radio-friendly genre. Thank you guys so much again. I'll play one more song and then maybe fade it over to automation.
Mama, give me some move. When you give me come, give me them move. Baby girl, please, I beg, don't go. In the way that you give me some more, come and give me some more. My lady, I like it. I feel it. Ito, ito. Come and give me some more. I am move, come and give me that move. Baby girl, come and give me some. Me, I like, can you give me some? Come and give me some more. Baby girl, I need your love. I only care about your love. Miami not. Baby girl, I swear you bad. Can we collab? Baby girl, can we collab? Me, I swear my girl, you bad. But you give me stamina, stamina, stamina. Stamina, stamina, coco. Stamina, stamina, stamina. Stamina, stamina, coco. Penina, carina. Stamina, stamina, coco. Stamina, stamina, stamina. Stamina, stamina, coco.
Let me know. Let me know. Let me know. man. Them just a set up on a dance on top man. No one I hear, I never wear. I get the people expensive and dear and you call me tall and you call me long and because the like a really thing to get a man car. I let me born, I let me go. Run come up and represent what they know me now. Me not change to me living and a show. I don't mean that they get the woman born and go on. I'm a right man, I want me know. The people give me to and to make this show too. The family channel when me up while me some people jump on to go down.
Dance again, no car. artist called Mafia Natives. Song is Now We Are Clubbing. Tembo Sounds a Culture, if you're joining us for the first time, welcome. If you're a regular listener, you are more than welcome to keep coming back again and again and again. You're in the mix where we play a variety of music and we actually touch with some Afrobeat, some 90s house, some 2024 soulful house. Hey. It's a Tembo Sound Show where we kick it how we like it. And if you're curious, we're broadcasting from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Bug Steel City. And if you're driving through I-80 or if you're driving through 376, you can catch my Tembo Sound Show on my website, tembosounds.com. A bunch of shows that have been saved and uploaded. You won't be disappointed. Pure bliss. Good times only. GTO, baby. Ochengowiro, Texas. Does this remind you of F. Terere? F2, Florida 2000? Yay. One of the best nightclubs in Nairobi, Kenya. Florida 2000s in the 90s. It was ballistic. Legs of the Tembo Sound Show. 2 hours just flies just like that, yeah? my producer, Magwindi, looking at me like, don't be crazy, we need to get out of here. Okay, Magwindi, where are we going? Up next is City Pop Central by DJ Lee. That's the programmer from the Tembo Sound Show for the fall 2024 season. DJ Lee is going to be my first time listening to DJ Lee. Name of the show is City Pop Central. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for catching the show as always. Much appreciated. Spread the word, spread the love, share the podcast, share the mix, share the news, share the information. It's a community radio show and we thrive when the more people listen to us. We're the ambassadors of great music, ambassadors of good music, ambassadors of good times only. One listen at a time. It's the way we convert them. Yeah. Thank you very much. I've been your host, Dr. Kenya O.C. Redoli. Until the next show, adios. Stay cool, stay safe, stay fresh.
To Counterspin, your weekly look behind the headlines. I'm Janine Jackson. This week on Counterspin, technical difficulties prevented my scheduled interview today, but it's not a problem. We have decades of archived conversations that are still trenchant and useful. First, we will revisit the conversation we had in August 2017 in the wake of the Unite the Right march in Charlottesville, Virginia. Writer and podcaster Adam Johnson had thoughts about the way so-called mainstream news media responded to a straight-up celebration of white supremacy. Also on the show, if we are to believe the chest thumping, high on Trump's agenda will be the enforced criminalization of migration. We talked about that in July of 2018 with Jacinta Gonzalez, senior campaign organizer at Mi Gente. The past is never dead. It's not even past. This week on Counterspin. But first, a look at some recent press. Asked for his morning after assessment of what happened on MSNBC's Morning Joe, pundit Chris Matthews fumed about the Biden administration's supposed open border. Quote, "Immigration has been a terrible decision for Democrats. I don't know who they think they were playing to when they let millions of people come cruising through the border at their own will. Because of their own decisions, they came right running to that border, and they didn't do a thing about it," close quote. You couldn't hope for a more distorted picture of Biden administration immigration policy from Fox or from Alex Jones. They didn't do a thing about it? Over here in reality land, Joe Biden deported, turned back, and expelled more than 4 million immigrants and refugees through February 2024, more than Donald Trump excluded during his entire first term. Groups like Human Rights Watch criticized Biden for continuing many of Trump's brutal anti-asylum policies. The ACLU called the restrictions unconstitutional. So it's a serious question. How can we expect news media to platform, forget fair or inclusive, how can we expect them to platform a rational debate about what the nation's approach to immigration might be when the supposedly liberal 24-hour news network is pretending that Biden's immigration policies amount to an open border? The New York Times Upshot published a chart showing that since 1980, the income of white men without college degrees has fallen compared to that of white, Asian, Latina, and Black women with college degrees. This illustrates the Times' claim that, quote, "the economy has effectively devalued the work and skills of some Americans while delivering mounting rewards to others," close quote. Why does the Times compare white men without college degrees to these people, rather than making the more obvious comparison to Black, Latino, and Asian men without college degrees, all of whom have lower average incomes? The Times could also have noted that white women without college degrees make much less money than their male counterparts, and that white men with college degrees make much more than those without. As University of Maryland sociologist Philip Cohen explained, the way the Times presented this data is, quote, "basically the story of rising returns to education turned into a story of race-gender grievance," close quote. That fits in well with the Times' history of trying to explain to liberals why they should learn to love white resentment. And finally, after Israel assassinated the leader of Hamas, a New York Times headline seemed to express surprise that killing a negotiating partner did not turn out to be a pathway to peace. Yahya Sinwar is dead, but a Palestinian state still seems distant, was the headline. And that followed another Times report that took a similar line. Despite Sinwar's death, Mideast peace may still be elusive. At The Nation, Laura Albast and Sarah O'Neill remind us that among the tens of thousands of Palestinians that Israel has killed since October 7th, the Media Government Office in Gaza reports that at least 183 of them have been journalists over the last year. That's about three journalists killed a week. With exceptions that the authors cite, what's missing is the wide-scale understanding that journalists are not just information sources. They are memory keepers. When a reporter is assassinated, the stories that they didn't publish, the voices that are not recorded, are stolen as well. Israel's war on Gaza is not only a land grab, as its leaders have explicitly stated, it's also a theft of invaluable Palestinian memory and history. You're listening to Counterspin, brought to you each week by the Media Watch Group FAIR. In August 2017, the specter of white supremacists marching with guns and torches, throwing KKK salutes, and screaming about Jews and commies offered a test for Americans. One of the primary institutions we hoped would be asking themselves some questions was corporate media. The trouble is, the press remains among the most sacred of cows for the press. Not just Fox News, which aired a video of cars driving into protesters in January with instructions to viewers to study the technique, but also, say, CBS, whose CEO Les Moonves joked that Donald Trump's candidacy may not be good for America, but it's damn good for CBS, a line that has yet to be seriously interrogated by media elites. Counterspin talked at the time about corporate media's coverage and its aftermath with Adam Johnson, reporter and host with Nima Shirazi of the podcast Citations Needed. He joined us from a New York City taxi. People are bristling over Trump's blame on all sides line, but it's hard not to notice how that kind of echoes corporate media's own forced even-handedness. And in this case, that started from the very beginning with the language that was used to describe the act of James Fields ramming his car into other cars and into human beings.
Very early on, you saw very suspicious agency-less language about how one died, 20 injured after clashes in Charlottesville. It's a way that you launder responsibility. It's a very odd and awkward form of grammatical formation. So it's stark when you read it. A guy ran a car into a crowd of people and killed one person. And to say that one person dies after clashes is a way of, again, removing agency and removing who did what to whom. It's a very curious way of phrasing it. In a similar vein, you also saw the repeated use of the car as some kind of autonomous or kind of Knight Rider entity. So, for example, the editorial for the Washington Post, they said, that car did not just ram into 20 people. So, but of course, the car didn't ram into people. Fields ran into people. A person ran into people. And that, you know, a Nazi sympathizer, Nazi terrorist, whatever more loaded term you want to use, would probably be far more accurate than the idea that the car, again, was somehow autonomous or itself racist. Now, some people would say, okay, well, it's, you know, it's a legal issue, or they don't want